Rally. Back at the office, Catherine held an all-hands meeting to discuss Mikey's departure and other company issues. In spite of her typically tactful and gracious demeanor, the news provoked more concern among employees than the executives had expected. And though they agreed that the reaction had more to do with its symbolic meaning than with losing Mikey in particular, it dampened the enthusiasm of the team. So, during the next staff meeting, Catherine had the group spend more than an hour discussing how they were going to replace their head of marketing. After a heated debate about whether to promote one of Mikey's direct reports, Catherine stepped in to break the tie. "All right, this has been a good discussion, and I think I've heard everyone. Does anyone have anything else to add?" No one spoke, so Catherine continued. "I believe that we need to find someone who can grow the department and help us with branding. And as much as I would prefer to promote someone internally, I don't see anyone in the department who is close to being able to do that right now. And so I think we should begin a search for a new vice president." Every head in the room nodded support, even those who had argued against an outside hire. "But I can assure you that we're going to find the right person. That means everyone here will be interviewing candidates and pushing to find someone who can demonstrate trust, engage in conflict, commit to group decisions, hold their peers accountable, and focus on the results of the team, not their own ego." Catherine was certain that her staff had begun to buy into her theory. After asking Jeff to organize a search for the new VP, she shifted the topic to sales. Nick reported that progress had been made with a few key prospects and that some regions of the country were still struggling. "I think we need more feet on the street." Jan knew that Nick was asking for more money and tried to put a quick halt to his thinking. "I don't want to add more expenses because that only means your quotas will go up. We don't want to get into a death spiral here." Nick breathed hard and shook his head in exasperation, as if to say, "There you go again." Before anyone knew what was going on, Nick and Jan were pounding on the table trying to convince one another and the rest of the group that their approach was right. During a brief pause in the action, Jan threw herself back in her chair in frustration and proclaimed, "Nothing around here has changed. Maybe the problem wasn't Mikey after all." That sobered the group. Catherine jumped in, smiling. "Hold on, hold on. I don't see anything wrong here. This is the kind of conflict we've been talking about for the past month. It's perfect." Jan tried to explain herself. "I guess I just don't see it that way. It still feels like we're fighting." "You are fighting, but about issues. That's your job. Otherwise, you leave it to your people to try to solve problems that they can't solve. They want you to hash this stuff out so they can get clear direction from us." Jan seemed tired. "I hope this is worth it." Catherine smiled again. "Trust me, it will be worth it in more ways than you know." Over the next 2 weeks, Catherine began to push her team harder than ever before around their behavior. She chided Martin for eroding trust by appearing smug during meetings. She forced Carlos to confront the team about their lack of responsiveness to customer issues. And she spent more than one late night with Jan and Nick, working through budget battles that had to be fought. More important than what Catherine did, however, was the reaction she received. As resistant as they might have seemed in the moment, no one questioned whether they should be doing the things that Catherine made them do. There seemed to be a genuine sense of collective purpose. The only question that remained in Catherine's mind was whether she could keep it going long enough for everyone to see the benefits.